in negating even negation, Subhuti wants to reveal, as it were, a living, vibrant, inconceivable presence. And this is brought out in that final line, that suddenly it seems to come from nowhere. Well, I guess it does come from nowhere. And why? Because an absolute exalts the holy persons. Holy persons is the translation of Arya Pudgala. Pudgala is persons, people, individuals who've attained, Arya Pudgala are the persons, the individuals who've attained the truth. Arya here means noble, Konza translates it holy, but it refers to those who've had, in this context, the realization of Prajnaparamita. Absolute is Konsa's translation of Asanskrita, which literally means the uncompounded, that which is not put together. Nirvana, enlightenment, is the not put together. It's incomposite. If it's not put together, it can't be taken apart. It's not a thing, it's not made up of things. It's not a making up of other things. We operate, of course, completely within the Sanskrita. Our perception is operating within the compounded, the put together, the complex, self, others, things, grasping, clinging, pain, naming, knowing, using, saying. That's all the composite. Nirvana, enlightenment, is the Asanskrita, the unput together. Words, ideas, grasping, thoughts just break down in relation to it. There's no relation to it. But although this Asanskrita, metaphysically, philosophically, is negative, you know, it's put in negative terms, in the sense that you can't name it, from the point of view of leading a spiritual life, it is positive. It's spiritually positive, because Subhuti says, the uncompounded exalts the holy persons. The uncompounded exalts the enlightened beings. Exalts is Konza's translation of Prabhavitar, which he points out is a very difficult term to translate. Bhante feels that the idea of Prabhava is definitely that of influence. And he thinks that out of all the alternatives that Konza gives in one of his translations, that draw their strength from would probably be the closest, the most accurate. The uncompounded, the holy persons draw their strength from the uncompounded. Not that the holy persons, not the Buddha, is one thing, and the influence of a Sanskrita is something else. We're back to things again, if we think like that. Prabhava is a really wonderful word. It's, again, one of those small Sanskrit words full of meaning and resonance. It can be translated as might, as power, as dignity, as strength, as efficacy, it can mean arising from, by means of, or in consequence of. It can mean magical power, splendor, beauty, powerful, strong. So the Asanskrita empowers the Buddha, as it were. It's the enlightened person's strength and beauty and majesty and splendor. It all stems from that realization of Asanskrita. It doesn't come from anything worldly, anything put together. Doesn't even come from the higher worldly planes, the higher states of consciousness attained through meditation. It's another dimension altogether that has no beginning or end because it has not been put together. Perhaps another way of looking at this is not to think of a Sanskrita, the uncompounded, abstractly, but that the Buddha's qualities are uncompounded. His wisdom, his love, his energy, his peace, his generosity, his kindness is not derived or sustained by anything. Those qualities are unsupported, unconstituted, so uninterrupted. They're natural, spontaneous, they're flowing. And these qualities are the exaltation, the empowerment, the making splendor, the making beautiful of the holy persons. It makes them extraordinarily effective, mysteriously, subtly effective. They don't know anything. There's just a spontaneous arising of unconstituted, uninterrupted qualities, manifesting as creativity to benefit all. In Buddhist devotional literature, you sometimes find verses that try to express both the inconceivable, the empty, the uncompounded nature of the Buddha, as well as the qualities that arise from it. So you can sometimes get this kind of oscillation between an affirmation of qualities, but then a concern to make clear that these qualities are not the kind of quality, you know, they're coming from a different dimension, this uncompounded dimension. Let me just read you from verses that Ratnakara lauded the Buddha with from the Vimalakirti Nidesha. And I think you can see this oscillation between the uncompounded and the Buddha's qualities, but it also evokes the splendor, majesty, the exalted nature of the Buddha. Pure are your eyes, broad and beautiful like the petals of a blue lotus. Pure is your mind, having discovered the supreme transcendence of all meditations. Immeasurable is the ocean of your virtues, the accumulation of your good deeds. You affirm the path of peace. O great ascetic, obeisance to you. And he goes on in different verses, lauding the Buddha as leader, as bull of men, as Dharma king, as lord of Dharma, praising him in many ways. And then at the end he says, you dissolve all signs in all things everywhere. You are not subject to any bias for anything at all. The miraculous power of the Buddhas is inconceivable. I bow to you who stand nowhere like infinite space. Now I realise that this can all seem a bit overwhelming, I know. But just let go. Don't try to use it. Buddhas, in any case, are too big to be used because they're empowered by the uncompounded. Just let go into appreciation, into imagination. You never know what might happen.